It's a great blessing to be in a church.
We have so much talent. And it's just easy to call upon it. And I think that Dr. Barry Stahl deserves a hand.
Thank you.
A lot of time in churches, regardless of the size, being a pastor is sort of like being a quarterback in football. You get all the praise when it's doing well, and when you win in football games, when things are going bad, you get all the bad stuff too. But any good quarterback will tell you, and any pastor will tell you, it's not them, it's the people that's doing all the work that you never see.
Yeah.
That's what makes the church go. Alright. Easy to pastor when you got people that do all that stuff behind the scenes, and Barry, you do a great job with it, and I appreciate it. All these people do too. Amen. And Debbie, thank you for that song, and Max. Thank you for that song last night. That's what I was singing last night when I got home and this morning. And guys, that's special you did Sunday morning. Were you there? I've never heard anybody sing that except Johnny Cash. I love Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I like his country music, and I like his gospel music, and I've heard him do that. And so when y'all started singing that, I was like, I've heard that before. Amen. Amen. Well, last night we preached about, why even pray. And tonight it's going to be praying to forgive. And this message is going to be a little bit more in-depth, so to speak. We're going to pull out a particular topic and learn about it and see what Jesus teaches us about it, what we need to act upon, what he tells us to do. And tomorrow night, we'll have all the young people in here, and that's going to be a salvation message. But how many here tonight? How many here tonight? It's a pretty good crowd tonight. How many here tonight? How many of you men and women, boys and girls, how many of you have been done wrong at some point in your life? Just most about everybody, okay? And no matter how big the incident, no matter how small the incident, by all accounts, you were done wrong, amen? Just done wrong. And so, have you ever wondered how much of your present behavior is a reaction to bitter experiences in your past? I wonder that all the time when I encounter people. What kind of day did they have? What kind of experiences have they lived through? And you see, how we deal with hurtful events in our past, it affects us physically and emotionally and spiritually.
Right.
It affects us. And if we don't deal with those hurtful moments in a biblical manner, we will be ineffective and we'll be resentful. So you have to learn how to do that. You see, difficult memories, it can cause our hearts to pound, and it can cause our nights to be sleepless, and hurtful experiences, they hurt us spiritually. And if we refuse to forgive, our fellowship with God will be disrupted, and our prayers will be powerless. They'll be powerless. So that is why Jesus spent so much of his time teaching us about forgiving others. And you see, at some point in our lives, all of us are going to have to deal with forgiveness. And so tonight, I want everyone to understand, when you walk out of these doors, I want you to understand how to forgive. And I want you to understand and know how to stop reacting with anger. You say, Brother Chad, I don't get mad. Well, I need to preach on lying too.
Yes.
Let me follow you around and get to Walmart and somebody take your parking spot, or Myers, or Kroger, or wherever you shop. And I'll see just how mad you get. Amen. To stop reacting in anger and to start living out God's design for our lives, where we not only receive forgiveness. Amen. Aren't you glad that you've received forgiveness in your life?
Yeah.
Not only that we receive forgiveness, but we pass it on.
Right.
Got to learn how to pass on that forgiveness. And there's no better place to learn that in Scripture than Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, I'm just going to deal with a small part of it. Well, this entire chapter is a lesson on spiritual relationships. So as you find Matthew chapter 19, be turning there to verse 21. Now, none other than Peter is going to start up this conversation. Amen? That's who usually the spokesman was for the apostles. And Peter's going to start this. And although he was an uneducated fisherman, and Peter was very keen on human behavior, and he's a pretty smart guy. Even though he's from the countryside. And Peter was beginning to understand. He'd been around Jesus long enough. He was beginning to understand that living in an atmosphere of humility and honesty might involve taking some risk. Amen? And it might involve facing danger from time to time. Let me put it to you this way, folks. When you start reaching out as a church into the community, you're going to have some people in your church that you've never seen before. Amen? They may not look like you. They may not dress like you. They may not smell like you. Amen?
Right.
But to grow, you got to sort of learn how to accept that.
Yeah.
Go on. Amen? So let's look at this. Please stand in honor of God's word. So Peter, what he's going to do, he decides he's going to ask Jesus. All right? You can just see Peter. You know, I can just see Peter. He's been rumbling this around in his mind. And so he's going to ask Jesus how to handle forgiveness moving forward. And that's where we're going to be tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Holy Spirit says this. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how long shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And as his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. May you bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Peter asked this question. He asked about the number of times his brother or fellow man or woman should be forgiven. Now look at verse 21. You're going to be looking a lot at your scripture tonight. Notice that Peter asked about someone sinning against him and not him sinning against somebody else. Amen? That's just how Peter was. Jewish teaching stated that you would be required to forgive somebody three times in one day. And so Peter, being Peter, he said, you know, if three times is forgiveness enough, I'll up the ante to seven. Not bad, right? But what Peter was trying to do, he was trying to reduce love and mercy down to logic and math. Amen. And he failed to realize where there's real love, there can be no limits. Amen. That's a tough one for the church to swallow sometimes. Amen. So verse 22, our Lord gives him a reply. And I bet it surprised Peter a great deal. The Lord didn't say three times. He didn't say seven times. He said 70 times seven. 490 times would be impossible to keep up with, and that was exactly the point Jesus was trying to make. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Paul tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no records of anything wrong. Doesn't do that. Jesus was trying to teach. He said, if we condemn someone, it brings out the worst in them. But if we love and forgive, we can help God bring out the best in that person. Some of the most miserable people I have ever met are those people in the church that have an unforgiving spirit. I was teaching a new believers class many years ago in Butler County. And I had a lady, she's almost 60 years old, and she was in there, and I had a lady in her 80s, a grandma that hadn't been saved, and I had some teenagers. I had all ages in that class, new believers class, taught it during Sunday school, and she tried to convince me that God could not forgive everyone. And I let her ramble on for about 30 seconds, and I stopped her. I said, "What sin did Jesus not die for?" Of course, she had no answer. And she became irritated, and she remarked, and she said, "Well, you're not old enough for anybody to have hurt you bad enough to realize that yet, but you just wait, it'll happen." And I don't have to comment any further on the condition of her heart.
Right.
Amen. To this day, I see her once in a while. She's one of the most bitter and negative people I've ever been around, in the church or out of the church. That unforgiving spirit. Now this parable, it's going to reveal the three sides of forgiveness. The practical side, that's what it means to forgive. And it's going to be the personal side, what forgiving does for you and those that you forgive. And the praying side. So to be more specific, how our willingness to forgive affects our fellowship with God. Because it's impossible to be right with God if you're not right with man. Amen? It's impossible. So number one is this. The practical side of forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? We talk about it. God gave us that. So what is forgiveness? The word forgive means this. It means to send someone away or to go away yourself, leaving all claims behind. You see, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision by which we say, "I choose to hold no more claims against that person." You see, in Jesus' day, a debt, when a person was forgiven a debt, there was two legal documents secured. They got a copy, here's your copy, and the other person got a copy, and everybody signed it, and they each kept a copy of it. And you see, that way the debt could not be brought up at a later date and payment demanded. That's what they did. So, in the same way, Satan comes back to us, doesn't he? Involving some situation from the past where we've forgiven someone and we must refuse to go back on our decision. Amen? That's what forgiveness is. That's what true forgiveness is. You see, forgiveness is not approving of the action. Forgiveness is not making restitution or paying somebody back. It's moving on with no thought of the past. That's what forgiveness is. That's what God did for us. Amen? Did you notice what happened this morning? That family from Chicago that had their family member murdered on Facebook, that guy filmed it, they forgave him on national TV. That's true forgiveness.
Yes.
Could you do that? They did. That's what Jesus can do for someone. You see, the man in the parable, he had been stealing tax money from the king. He had been stealing tax money, and he had a debt so large it could never be repaid. The Bible tells us it was 10,000 talents. You're like, what's a talent? In modern day terms, that'd be like $15 million. So a talent, to give you a better understanding, a normal person working in those times would have to work 20 years to earn one talent. And he had stole 10,000. So if you do the math real quick, 20 years for one, owed 10,000, he would have to work 200,000 years to pay back his debt. So he had stolen quite a large sum of money. He had stolen the tax money. But you know what? He was not ashamed that he stole the money, was he? He's ashamed he got caught.
Right.
He wasn't ashamed he stole the money. He was ashamed he got caught. You see, his case was hopeless, but the king was compassionate and forgave the debt. You see, the servant was free, and he is the recipient of a great act of love and a great act of mercy from his master. But I want you to notice one thing. One thing that we see all the time. Look at verse 26. Now, the servant there in verse 26, he said, "If you just have patience with me, I'll pay you back." Isn't that funny how man always says, "God, if you just give me more time.
Yeah.
Just give me more time, God, I'll make things right." You ever said that to the Lord? Lord, if you just give me some more time. It's how sad the state of man to think that time matters to God. You see, we can make things right with God right now. Don't have to wait. You see, we don't have to wait for anything. That's the practical side of forgiveness. Now, the number two is this, the personal side of forgiveness. What does forgiveness do for the people that we forgive, and what does forgiveness do for us when we forgive somebody? This is the good part of it. For starters, it removes us as the controlling factor in that person's behavior. Sometimes people have prospered, amen? That ever happened to you? Sometimes somebody does something wrong to you and all of a sudden they start to prosper and we don't like it. But refusing to forgive them, we're saying this: I'm afraid if I forgive that person, God will not treat them the way I think they need to be treated. That's not exactly a Christian attitude, is it? I'm going to tell you a true life thing that I would live through. My wife and I were building our first home out on 185 down by the Green River. And she was 5, 6, 7 months pregnant, something like that. And I had a family member, I didn't have the time to do it. I had a family member subcontract out my home to build it. And he got about halfway done, got some other homes to build, and he ran off and started working on those homes. He kept telling me, everybody dealt with the contract, you know, we'll be there tomorrow, we'll be there tomorrow, I'll be there, blah, 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 on and on and on. And so Julie, first child now, she's pregnant with Matt. She just couldn't handle it anymore, and because she couldn't handle it, I really couldn't handle it, amen? And she said, just time and you can finish it up. I said, yeah, I can probably finish it up from here. So I did. You know what he did? He went down to my house and stole every one of the electrical fixtures that we had bought and put in the living room. I was out of town, took him back to his house, and Julie and her mother went over there, and there they lay in his garage, and they could see him, and he swore them down he didn't take them. He was the only one that had a key to the house. There was no signs of forced entry, and there was $2,600 of our electrical fixtures in his floor. And of course, Julie, being a little emotional, got a little bit upset. 2 days later, I receive a letter in the mail from his lawyer saying there's a lien against my project, my home, for about $5,600 of work that was never done. And I contacted my lawyer and my banker and asked her what I should do. She said, Chad, you might as well just pay it and go on. It'll cost you more in legal fees than it is to fight it. And I said, so I have to pay $5,600, and I got to go buy light fixtures. You know, that's I'm not good at math when I'm preaching. That's $8,000, something like that, whatever. And so I did. Julie wasn't too happy about it, but I prayed about it. I was like, you know what? He'll get his. I'm not his judge. God will take care of me. Amen. And a couple years later, he got what was coming to me. He had run up so much debt and done so many people wrong, he had to file like a $1 million bankruptcy. And it ended. Was I happy about it? No. But I forgave him and I moved on. And so when I got that news, I really didn't have any emotion. He just simply got what was coming to him. Amen. And I don't say that to be self-serving. But folks, sometimes life's not fair and circumstances are going to be out of your hands.
Amen. Right.
Amen. And you just want to have to forgive and go on.
Amen.
You see, a forgiving spirit says, dear God, I rest my case. That individual is yours to deal with, not mine. I have no further claims. So with that in mind, I want to give you like 4, 5, 6 things here. I want to give you some positive results when you forgive someone. Because I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one, but I ask at the very start, has anybody ever been wronged? And I felt the wind, so many hands went up in here. My next question would be, have you forgiven that person? Not even going to look. None of my business. But have you forgiven that person? And I mean, have you moved on? You see, a positive result of forgiving somebody, number one, is we are released. When we refuse to forgive others, we sometimes believe we should that the person who has wronged us, you know, if we punish them, if we can do them wrong, that'll balance out the scales. Amen. I used to work with a guy. He was an outside sales guy. Had a corporate account, had a credit card. You know, we had a budgeted expense account. We could spend that money any way we wanted to on travel and entertainment for customers. And every time we did something, his arm, he had alligator's arm. He'd already hand you about right there. You ever been around those guys? Couldn't reach his wallet. I called him old T-Rex arm. He couldn't reach his wallet. He never paid for anything. And we'd be like, hey man, company's paying for it. Go ahead. It's okay. And that taught me about a lot about him, because in his personal life, every time he tried to do something nice for him, he'd say, I guess I got to pay you back for that one. You ever been around people like that? He couldn't accept a favor. He was always trying to balance the scales. Well, I owe you two now. No, huh? And you'd be like, would you stop it with that? Just receive what we're trying to do. You see, when we forgive, we are set free. Yeah. Romans chapter 8 says we owe the person nothing but love. It says, Paul said, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's all we owe somebody, folks. To love them. Amen. That's it. So we're released. Unforgiving people, they always feel they have to get even, then the record will be set straight. No sir, no ma'am. You see, but when we forgive, those feelings are removed and fellowship is restored. We are released. Second thing is this, we are reliant. You see, forgiveness helps us totally rely on the Lord. Amen. Remember I said we're set free. It's no longer our business. An unforgiving person makes the mistake of thinking other people hold the key to their happiness and their success. But when we forgive someone, you know what we're saying? We're saying God meets all my needs. I don't need your approval. God meets everything that I need. You see, in our parable, the king forgave the servant because he didn't need the man's money. He didn't need his money. And we can forgive others because we have more than enough if we have Jesus in our hearts. That's what the Lord's talking about here. Now, when we say, I will not forgive, you know what we're saying? We're basically saying, I need something from someone on earth because God cannot provide it. But what does Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 say? It says, my God shall supply some of my needs. Many of my needs. A few. I'm waiting for everybody to say all. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, when you forgive somebody, you say, you know what? I don't need your approval. I'm going to forget about that because God's going to supply all my needs. That's praying to forgive. So we're reliant. We're also restored. You see, many believers in the church house, we start down the road of backsliding out of fellowship. Amen? Because we don't forgive. When we have a spirit of unforgiveness, God will remove us from being useful. He'll just set us right over here. If we have that unforgiving spirit in our hearts, everything seems to be perfectly okay on the outside. But God has to discipline that person, and the person is left useless. You see, in the parable, the unforgiving servant was put in prison where they were totally ineffective. Right? You can't do nothing in jail. You can't do anything. So, the same thing goes to people who refuse to forgive. Amen. God just renders us ineffective. But as soon as we forgive, our usefulness is restored. So that's what we do. We're restored. Fourth thing, we are relieved. Someone who does not forgive lives in agony.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know people right now sitting at home that are living in agony because they won't forgive somebody.
Yeah. Amen.
My dad is the greatest father a young boy could ever have. My dad's not a Christian, but I see him get up every day and go to work to provide for me and my sister and my mother. I was 6 or 7 years old. I don't exactly remember. And my grandfather died of congestive heart failure. I was in Disney World with my aunt and uncle. I remember being woke up out of bed, and we drove all the way from Orlando all the way to Cleveland, Kentucky, up in Edmondson County. I remember waking up in the back seat of that car, and I heard people crying, and I had no idea what was going on. And I got up, and it was the middle of the night, and all the family was there, and I walked in, and they told me Pepa had died. And I was so young, I was just upset because everybody else was upset. My dad came from a family of 9 brothers and sisters. He was the youngest. And my papa had a farm. If you know where Seven Springs Restaurant is, that farm on the back side of that used to be my family's. The road's named Yulee Road, I think. Got a bunch of houses there now. It's a subdivision. That used to be my family's farm. Barn's still there. And the will was written that my dad got everything because he's the only one that still helped on the farm, which, by all accounts, is fair. Amen. But when everybody else found that out, all hell broke loose on my family. I've never seen the fights like I seen in my grandparents' house after my papa died. I can remember that. And so you know what my dad did? He said, we're not going to fight about it. He put it all up for auction. He said, we'll split it 9 ways. Still wasn't good enough for everybody. For 20 years, my dad had nothing to do with any of his brothers or sisters. Nothing. I remember my aunt died. They come to the front door and told Dad, he shut the door in her face. But eventually, he got up and forgave him when he shouldn't even have to do it in the first place. And when I can remember when my dad started coming around and talking to his family again, how that unforgiving spirit was just lifted in his life. And I see so many people here when I was telling that story shaking your head. You must have been through some of the same stuff that I've experienced. An unforgiving spirit. Folks, you'll live in agony. It'd be awful. I've seen it firsthand. You see, because forgiveness brings relief. That's what forgiveness does. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 gives us some insight into an unforgiving spirit. You know what it says? It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. That's what an unforgiving spirit will do. It'll dry you up inside. And most of the time, those whom we have an unforgiving spirit towards, they don't even know it, do they? It's just you that's suffering. That other person has no idea that you're upset like that. It's you that suffers. Unforgiving people suffer the most from their bitterness. But when we forgive, we are released from such a terrible attitude. Oh, folks, you'll never amount to anything spiritually until you learn how to forgive.
Amen.
It just won't happen. It just won't happen. Fifth thing is this. We are recovered. You see, forgiving does a lot more than just restoring relationships with other people. We also regain fellowship with God.
Right.
Amen. Jesus warns about this in verse 35. This is the key verse in this piece of scripture. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That's a warning passage. That's a warning verse, folks.
That's right.
You see, married couples sometimes have a rough patch, and we refer to that as a chill in the air at home. Amen? I didn't think I'd get that kind of response from that, but I'll go with it. All right, married couples sometimes have that in the home, and it's called a chill in the air. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. Everybody's laughing. But the sad part about that is many people feel the similar chill in their relationship with God. They feel that relationship with God. There's a chill to it. You see, their sins are covered by the blood, but they know their behavior is not what it should be. Broken fellowship is the result of an unforgiving spirit. God is known for His forgiveness. Amen? So it stands to reason, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, if you believe in the Lord, that you should forgive.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you don't, it's kind of strange, isn't it?
Right.
You say, well, I'm a duck, but I meow like a cat. Ducks quack, folks, don't they?
Amen.
Ducks swim. Ducks don't meow and chase mice. And so when we say that we're a Christian and God has forgiven us and we don't forgive, that's kind of strange. Doesn't make any sense. When we choose to forgive, though, we are displaying the grace of God in our lives. The last thing is this, the praying side of forgiveness. You see, forgiveness and forgiving people, it closely relates to prayer in many ways. Without forgiveness, it's impossible. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
Wasn't very good. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
Without forgiving, it is impossible to pray correctly. You say, how do you know that? Psalm 66, verse 18 covers that for everybody. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So tonight, if you're struggling in your prayer life, let me ask you a real serious question. Do you have sin in your heart? Because that's not what I said. It's what the Bible says.
Amen. Right. Amen.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear you. If we're going to pray effectively, and if we're going to pray persistently, we must be forgiven. You have to be forgiven. When we forgive, we forgive. When we forgive, we can pray and we can keep on praying. When we forgive, we can serve and keep on serving. And when we forgive, we can worship and keep on worshiping. That's what forgiveness does for you, folks. Warren Wiersbe once said that the worst prison in the world is the prison of an unforgiving heart. Man, that's pretty good stuff. When we forgive, oh, when we forgive, that heart just changes. It's like a burden lifted. And if we refuse to forgive others, then we're only imprisoning ourselves. And what we're doing is we're causing our own suffering. The most miserable people I've ever met are those people that could not forgive others. Reacting in anger. And in our scripture, we see a man forgiven a great debt. 10,000 talents, the Bible says. And he loses his mind over 100 pence, which is just pocket change. It's nothing. Grabs a man by his throat. Says, pay me what you owe me. Throws him and his wife and his children in jail. Man, he was in prison. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing wrong with many people that sit in our church pews. Call themselves Christians. Amen. They say they've received forgiveness, but they've not really experienced forgiveness deep in their hearts. And because of that, they're unable to share forgiveness with those that have wronged them. You see, if we live according to forgiveness and what God has taught us in His Word, and we share with others what God has shared with us, then we'll enjoy freedom and joy. That's what's for us. You see, the warning from the Lord Jesus in this parable is very, very serious business. Now, He did not say that God only saves those who forgive others. That's not what it says. That's not what this parable is talking about. The point of this parable is forgiveness between Christians. It's not salvation for lost people. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about forgiving your brothers and sisters. But we reveal the true condition of our hearts by what? How we treat other people. I heard Brother Junior Hill say one time, the best judge of somebody's character is how they treat people they absolutely do not need. So when you go to the restaurant, how you treat your waiter or waitress, that's a key about how your character is. When you go shopping and somebody's coming out of the store, amen, and you just look at them and walk on by and don't open the door and try to help them, that reveals your character. How you treat people you don't need is your true character. You see, bottom line is this. An unforgiving spirit reveals a heart that has not been changed. Amen? That's what it reveals. And that lands a person in hell when they thought heaven was their final destination. You say, whoa. I thought we was talking about praying, and I thought we was talking about forgiveness. But folks, my Bible has all these letters and words that I've been talking about in red. That means the Lord Jesus spoke them. You say, well, why in the world is Jesus talking about that with all his disciples around? Who was there? Peter, James, John, Andrew, Thomas, Judas. Judas. He was warning Jesus. He was teaching Peter and them about forgiveness on this side, and over here, he was trying to warn Jesus. Amen? You see that? He was there. You see, Judas was a pretender. He was a pretender. And so why would this be shared with the church? Because there's lost church members as well. Right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Folks, I've been talking about learning how to pray and forgive people. And Barry and Kathy's going to come, and we're going to have an invitation. This is a little bit different message. I understand that. Last night we had a great time in here. People praying. See people crying. Had people come in tonight and say, preacher, I've been praying for my card all day. Brother Larry come in and said, I've been praying for 24. No, he's number 24. But I told you before I started, this is pretty serious. Pretty serious. I'm not talking down to nobody. When I preach, it includes the pulpit all the way up the back door. But tonight, you've got something in your heart. I don't know. I don't know anybody's business but mine. If you've got something in your heart that you've been hanging on to, you need to let it go tonight.
Amen.
We'll give you the opportunity to do that. If you're here tonight, you're sitting there, you say, Brother Chad, I've been in church all my life, but I know deep down in my heart, I'm not saved. The crowd's big enough that there might be some people here like that. What if people won't think of me? Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. You may be here tonight, and you're like old Atlas, you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. He said, I barely made it out the door to get here. And when I get home, I got 15 loads of laundry, 25 emails to send. I got to iron all the clothes. My mom's been giving me problems. I got family issues. I got a parking ticket to pay. The insurance is due. And there's too much a month at the end of my paycheck. Amen? Folks, the Bible says that God will supply. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. I can't stress enough how important it is as individuals, as a body of Christ. We have visitors here from other churches, and that's fine too. But Lord, we'll never grow spiritually until we learn to forgive. And not only learn to forgive, but do it. Leave it at the altar. Leave it all up to you. And forgive it. Father, the last church I pastored, I found out too late that there was something going on there, and I never could figure it out what it was. Later on, you knew what it was. All it was is about a fence. Somebody put up a fence, and it caused all kinds of issues. Lord, no doubt there may be some problems here like that, or in other churches. Lord, whatever it is tonight, whatever these people are going through, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch them, and they'd realize that there's not a problem that cannot be taken care of with proper prayer. And so now we're going to turn it over to you. May your will be done. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand.